Today is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, and these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There is no benediction this evening. The cleaning of the chapel will be this Monday after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. On Tuesday, August 15th, is the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is a holy day of obligation. All Catholics are seriously bound to assist at Mass if possible. There will be a low Mass for special needs. In other words, if you absolutely can't attend the other Masses, then you are permitted to come to the 7 a.m. Mass. There is a solemn Mass at 9 a.m. and a low Mass at 7 p.m. Solemn Mass, 9 a.m. Low Mass, 7 p.m. The feast days and feasts of the saints of this week, in addition to the Feast of the Assumption, are Wednesday, August 16th, Feast of St. Joachim, the father of our Blessed Mother, grandfather of Son of God, at St. Joachim, husband of St. Anne. On Friday, August 18th, commemoration of St. Agapetus. Saturday, August 19th, St. John Eudes. So, we skipped, but undoubtedly you noticed, we skipped St. Hyacinth, who has a feast on the 18th. August 17th, Feast of St. Hyacinth. He lived in the 12th and 13th centuries. He was from Poland. After he was ordained a priest, he and his bishop and some other priests decided to go to Rome. And we need not talk about why they were there. The point is that when they went there, they met St. Dominic. They heard him preach, and they saw him working miracles. And so these priests wanted to join him, and they did. St. Dominic offered a Mass and took these priests into the Dominican order. And St. Hyacinth, these priests went back to Poland because St. Dominic had been wanting to send some missionaries to Poland. The bishop asked for priests to be sent there. And St. Dominic said, "I've already sent all my priests to other places. I have none left." And so these priests joined him, and then he sent them back to Poland to preach the gospel. So we don't have time or the desire to tell you the whole story of St. Hyacinth. It would take a long time because he performed miracles. He was called the wonder worker of his age. That's a big statement because there were many wonder workers during the 13th century. And St. Dominic was probably one of the most important ones. We've told you about when he offered the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass for the King and Queen of England, they watched the miracles take place right in front of them during his Mass. We told you that story. So this is a big statement. St. Hyacinth is called the wonder worker of his age. When he needed to cross a river, we don't know about every time, but he would often be on foot and he would have no boat to cross the river. And so he and his priests would make the sign of the cross over the river. And then, and sometimes it was a raging river. And then they would walk across the river. On one occasion, there were 400 people on the other side of the river waiting for him, and they watched him and the priests walk across the river. Now, were all of these 400 people deceived? Or was this actually a miracle? Because the modernists deny miracles. It would be a miracle that these 400 people were deceived by these priests. How could they appear to walk across the river? But this was not the only time St. Hyacinth crossed the rivers just by walking across. He spent his life preaching the gospel. Where did he go? He went without any assistance. He went all the way up into Sweden and preached the gospel there. He preached the gospel through Russia and China. He went all the way almost to the East Indies. This is phenomenal, brethren. He went 12,000 miles, basically on foot. And finally, he was given the knowledge that he was going to die, and so they carried him into the Mass. He received Holy Communion, and soon after he received the Blessed Sacrament, he went to heaven. And this is the last thing I will tell you about St. Hyacinth. He said this: the way we obtain eternal life is by abandoning, giving up completely everything in this life so that we have no attachments here. If we have nothing in this life to hold us down, then we automatically go to eternal life. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I recall to your minds the gospel that I preached to you, which also you received, wherein also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold it fast, as I preached it to you. Unless you have believed to no purpose. For I delivered to you, first of all, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and after that to the 11. Then he was seen by more than 500 brethren at one time, many of whom are with us still, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, as by one born out of due time, he was seen also by me. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace in me has not been fruitless. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Mark, chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. At that time, Jesus, departing from the district of Tyre, came by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the district of Decapolis. And they brought to him one deaf and dumb, and entreated him to lay his hand upon him. And taking him aside from the crowd, he put his fingers into the man's ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and said to him, Hephphatha, that is, be thou opened. And his ears were at once opened, and the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak correctly. And he charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, so much the more did they continue to publish it. And so much the more did they wonder, saying, he has done all things well. He has made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we were going to speak to all of you first, and then speak to our first communicants, or our newly baptized, but we think it's important to speak to you first, because this is the most important day of your life. When our Lord and Savior was here on earth, St. Peter, the first pope, who was referred to by St. Paul as Kephas, which means Peter the Rock, when he was here, St. Peter asked him, St. Peter said, we have given up everything. So what's going to be ours? What do we get in return? And our Lord and Savior said that anybody who has given up anything for the sake of God, we paraphrase the words of Christ. Everyone remembers his words. He said, anybody who's given up anything in this life for the sake of God will receive 100-fold in return. Now, we are not any great mathematician or anything, but that's the best deal you'll ever find in this world, to receive 100 times as much as you invest. 100 times. You can't find better than that. Unless we're talking about heaven, because our Lord said, and after that, he will receive eternal life. Now that's what our Lord and Savior said, just about someone who has given up something for the sake of God. Anything. 100-fold, 100 times as much in return. Give up father, mother, lands, anything for the sake of God. And you get eternal life. If he says that about just something that we've given up for his sake, imagine your reward for receiving him in the Blessed Sacrament, our Lord and Savior. What reward will you receive for receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Son of God? Imagine what your reward will be. We can't begin to imagine it. It will be infinite. But even now, when you receive Him and you make acts of love and adoration and thanksgiving, but especially love, you give your heart to the Son of God with as much love as you can, and you will be given a beginning of eternal life. Well, you already have eternal life in you now with your baptism, but you'll be able to feel it, taste it. You'll start to experience what it is like to be in heaven, because you are receiving God into your soul. You have heard that it's more correct to say, when you receive Holy Communion, God receives you into Himself. So much so that many people, many children, the list is a mile long, after receiving their first Holy Communion, have gone to heaven immediately. Not many years ago, there was a little girl who, when she was going to receive her first Holy Communion, she prayed that God would take her, just a little girl like you, she prayed that God would take her before she had an opportunity to offend Him in her perfect innocence, receiving first Holy Communion. She prayed that God would take her. And soon after she received, that's exactly what happened. She died just a little while later. Went straight to heaven. Remember that what you are doing in receiving God today in so dramatic a manner, body, blood, soul, and divinity, you're doing what you were created for. The whole universe, we can say, was truly created for this moment. That's why God made you. That's why God made the universe, so that He could receive you this morning and take you to heaven, if not today, sometime in the near future. This is why you were made. God formed you for this moment. We know that God created us for prayer. We have said that umpteen times. God made us to speak with Him, to communicate with Him. But you see, the best prayers, there are seven of them, the best prayers in the whole world are sacraments. Seven sacraments. Those are the best prayers. And the best of all of those prayers, those seven, is this one, because in this prayer you receive God Himself. So you don't just speak to God, you receive Him. You have Him, so He's one with you, similar to being in heaven. Don't forget that. That's how important this day is. This is your biggest prayer of your whole life this morning. So we are praying for you. The collect of today's Mass is magnificent. We know that you've all prayed it, but perhaps you didn't realize what a beautiful prayer it is. We are certain that the man, the person, maybe it was a woman, the person who composed this prayer was a great, great mystic. Listen to this. O Almighty and Eternal God, who in the abundance of thy loving kindness art wont to give beyond the deserts and desires of those who humbly pray, pour down upon us thy mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid. We're afraid of those things that we have done because we know what they will do to us. And granting us those blessings which we dare not presume to ask. Isn't that beautiful? It gives us more than we can even ask for. We're afraid to ask. We wouldn't presume to ask for so many things, but he gives them to us anyway. I suggest you pray that prayer again. It's so beautiful. Now, we know that we've spoken to you ad nauseam about the importance of the virtue of humility. But we're not ashamed to speak of it again because of its importance. The way that it's important for you to keep breathing, and if you're not breathing correctly, you start to feel it right away. If we are short on breath, that's similar to what we are without deep and profound humility. If we're not possessed firmly of this virtue, then the other virtues that we think we have are just figments of our imagination. We don't really possess any virtue if we are not humble, if we don't enjoy someone walking on us. There are no other virtues without this. This is absolute. Don't forget where we belong. We belong in hell. Don't forget that. Never forget that we belong in hell. That's where we would be if God wasn't doing what the prayer says and giving us more than we deserve. Far more. St. Paul was well aware of it. You hear him talking about how evil he was and where he would be without God. Calls himself the least of the apostles because of all his sins. So this is what this day is all about, the importance of this virtue. The Son of God, in this gospel, which St. Mark describes so beautifully, he's all about teaching us in this account. And St. Mark knew that. He's just teaching us. He's doing other things. He's performing miracles, helping this man. But mostly he's teaching. He's teaching those people that were present. He's teaching all men of all time. This man that he gave back his gave speech and his hearing, he gave them to him through this miracle. He was a Gentile. This was not a Jew. He's one of us. So this is for us. What he's doing here, he's teaching us, you and I, you and me. He's teaching us about so many things. So at this point, the Gentiles had been without God for at least 4,000 years. Imagine that. 4,000 years without God. And that's why this man was placed here and brought to our Lord and Savior, is because he was symbolic of the Gentiles, symbolic of you and me before our baptism, hopefully not now, because he was deaf and dumb. And this was the symbol of the power that Satan had over this man. Because not only could he not hear God, where does faith come from? Remember where faith comes from? From hearing. That's I think it was St. Paul said, faith comes from hearing. So this is symbolic. This man could not hear God. And he couldn't pray. He couldn't ask God for anything because he couldn't speak. Once again, symbolic. And so what does our Lord and Savior do? He takes him. He could have cured him in an instant. Even before he approached him, he's God. So clearly he's telling us something by his actions and by his words. So what does he do with this man? He takes him apart from the crowd, from all the people. He takes him away. He didn't need to do that, so what's the purpose? Well, he takes him away from the rest of the world because the world is not doing him any good. It's just going to be him and God. That's to teach us to take ourselves away from the world. That's what you have done, isn't it? When you came here, you left the rest of the world and you entered into the house of God and the gate of heaven. Domus Dei et Porta Coeli. That's what it says above our doors. So now you have left the world. You've come into God's world. This is heaven. God is here. So he took him away from the world. All the world does is lead us into sin. That's the world. We hope you separate yourself from the world more than once a week. We hope. And then Son of God groans. He sighs. Because he is so moved by this man who is possessed, so to speak, by Satan. The devil has control over him completely. He's taken even away his senses. And so the Son of God sighs. He is moved. The point is that God is moved. His sacred heart is moved. for us. He feels our pain, our need. He feels our need for Him. Maybe He was thinking of you and me. This was an emotional moment for the Son of God. And then we can see Him, because St. Mark describes it for us, we can see Him lifting His eyes up to heaven. Maybe these actions were the ones that gave us the graces we need to be saved. And He takes the saliva from His mouth and puts it on His tongue. Now, what is it that He is teaching us? What is it that comes forth from the mouth of God? Wisdom. That's in the Bible. Wisdom comes forth from the mouth of God. And so what do we do before we baptize someone? We don't take our saliva and put it on their tongue. We put on their tongue the symbol of wisdom, which is salt. Salt is the symbol of wisdom. So we do to those who are to be baptized, you have all received it, salt on your tongue. And so we give you wisdom, just like the Son of God did to this man. He gave him wisdom. And then we take the saliva from our mouth just before we baptize you, and we put it on your ears and on your nose, and we say these words, "Ephphatha, et est apriere." Open up. Be open. Just like this man. And that is the grace that we receive in baptism. But we receive more grace because we imitate the Son of God and what He does for this man. This is all for us. He's teaching us, brethren. He's giving this man grace, and He's giving us grace through the same exact thing that He wanted us to do. It's all for us. It's beautiful. He's trying to show us His love and give it to us through these actions, through these prayers. He has done away with many of the rites of baptism in the new religion. So when people come to us, we go through the ceremony so they can receive the graces which come from these actions, these beautiful things, right from the Son of God. This is all harbingers and promises. These things that Christ did were promises for us, that He would do the same for us, for everybody. He will offer everyone these graces. Some will refuse. Many will refuse. There are even people who, after they have received these graces, will still be lost because they don't appreciate what they have been given. And neither do we. We forget how blind we are without God's grace. How deaf we are. What Immeasurable graces have been accorded to us. We forget. And we do not thank God sufficiently because we do not appreciate them. All men of all time will be offered the graces that we have been given. He was also, no doubt, mindful of, because this man was a Gentile, he was mindful of the wise men who were Gentiles, who had come from India or someplace in the East. And they had come and fallen down on their knees, on their faces, on the ground, in front of the Son of God, in the lap of His Blessed Mother. He had given them the same graces that He offers to all men of all time, and they appreciated them. They became saints. He also said, after he was finished, he said, tell this to no one. Do not tell anyone what happened here. Once again, he was teaching us. He knew they were going to tell everyone. So he was teaching us to be humble. No matter how great you are, do not spread the wealth, as our Father Superior says. Do not spread the wealth. Be humble. Do not let other people know of your fantastic abilities. What a great person you are. What gifts you have been given. Natural abilities. We love to think about all that we have been given. Do not spread the wealth. Be humble. It is very difficult to have this virtue and not let other people know how great we are. It's very difficult. We love in some way to have other people know of our greatness. We love it. Do not do it, brethren. This is from the Imitation of Christ. A man draws nearer to God the farther he withdraws himself from all earthly comfort. He ascends the higher toward God, the lower he descends into himself, and the manner and the meaner he esteems himself. But he that attributes anything of good to himself stops the grace of God from coming into him. For the grace of the Holy Ghost ever seeks an humble heart. If thou couldst perfectly annihilate thyself and cast out from thyself all created love, then would abundance of grace flow into thee. When thou lookest towards creatures, the sight of the Creator is withdrawn from thee. Learn, for the Creator's sake, to overcome thyself in all things, and then thou shalt be able to attain to the knowledge of God. How little soever it be, if a thing be inordinately loved and regarded, it keeps thee back from the sovereign good and corrupts the soul. Always say, as the Son of God advised us to say, we are unprofitable servants. No matter how great we may think we are, no matter what tremendous gifts God has given us, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty. That's all we have done. Just our duty. St. John Vianney loved to quote St. Augustine. And here's how one of the quotes he took from St. Augustine. He attributed it to St. Augustine. Teach me to know myself. This is St. Augustine saying this. Teach me to know myself. For what I am, and I shall have no need of anything else to cover me with confusion and scorn for myself. We read it to you again. Teach me to know myself for what I am, and I shall have no need of anything else to cover me with confusion and scorn for myself. If we know ourselves truly, then we will be humble. And St. John Vianney says, what we like to do is we like to compare ourselves with others to our advantage. So we see someone who has a gift from God. Maybe it is some beauty, something attractive. And so we realize in our own heart, we realize this person is attractive. So we don't think it's much more attractive than I am. We think, oh, but I'm smarter than he is. Yes, he's better looking, but I'm smarter. Yes, that person has more money, but I have the Catholic faith. This person is very talented, but I have something else. St. John Vianney says, don't compare yourself with others. Accept your state in life, what God has given you. And if you know yourself truly, as St. Augustine says, if you really are honest, you won't need anything else to be humble. You will have great, as St. Augustine says, great contempt for yourself. May God bless you.